I'm Karen Given. Since last week, we have two new champions, the NBA's Golden State Warriors and the NHL's Pittsburgh Penguins. Both teams are now facing a huge question. That's where we'll start this week on Three Stories You Should Know. Joining me are Julie DeCaro, a host at Chicago's 670 The Score, and Cindy Boren of The Washington Post. Welcome back to both of you.
Thanks, Karen.
Hi, thanks.
Cindy, it's all you.
Well, you mentioned that there are two new champions. There is also a new president, someone may have noticed.
No.
And we've had a couple of champions, and this raises the question of, will teams go to the White House or not? We have seen the New England Patriots go. Tom Brady opted to stay away, and so did several other Patriots players. And now the Pittsburgh Penguins and Golden State Warriors are on the clock. The Penguins have said that they would go if invited. Now, the Golden State Warriors are another matter. The coach, Steve Kerr, has been outspoken in his criticism of the president. Stephen Curry has referred to him as an asset without the E and the T, shall we say. And the question is, what will the Warriors do? There have been reports that they have decided not to go, but Steve Kerr has shot that down. And I think that whatever happens here with the Warriors, if they are invited, they will tell you they haven't been invited yet. They will be leaders on this. And this is an important question. Even though players have been going to the White House since the 1800s, and going to the White House is a form of respect for the office as opposed to the individual who might occupy it. Players have boycotted in the past. Players boycotted Obama. Whatever happens, there will be a statement involved with it, and it's going to be important.
I think that we have always worked out our issues as a country through sports, whether it's integration, you know, baseball integrated before the country integrated. Muhammad Ali brought the Vietnam War into everyone's living room. You know, we're talking about domestic violence and violence against women nationally in large part because of Ray Rice and what happened in the NFL. So I feel like this is the kind of protest we should be encouraging athletes to do, nonviolent protests. If they don't want to go to the White House, I'm happy to have them not go to the White House, no matter what president it's for. I think if they decide as a team they're not going to go, then I think that's a pretty powerful statement.
Well, I absolutely agree on one thing, which is that I fully support an athlete's right to talk about things that aren't sports. I support an athlete's right to go or not go after an invitation has been received from the White House. I've got to say, all this speculation, though, really kind of rubs me the wrong way. I mean, without getting into who is exactly responsible for the lack of courtesy and respect in the political climate, who turns down an invitation before the invitation has arrived? You know, like, I don't think Emily Post would be okay with this. So while I'm like, yeah, sure, absolutely, make your stand, wait to make your stand until you've gotten the invitation.
Okay, that's a good point. That's true. Manners. One thing we need more of, manners. I'm for that.
Julie, your story comes to us from St. Louis. What's going on there?
Well, on July 30th, St. Louis is going to host Christian Night, which is something they've hosted for the last three decades. Now, it should be said they also have things like Jewish nights, nights for other religions, and they are going to be having an upcoming Pride Night. However, for this particular Christian night, they've invited Lance Berkman, former player, to come in and speak at their Christian night. Now, the problem is for many of the St. Louis fans, many of others around the country, especially the LGBT community, is that Lance Berkman has been extremely outspoken about being anti-LGBTQIA. He worked very hard to try to defeat an equal rights ordinance in Houston. This is one of those so-called bathroom bills that wouldn't allow transgendered women to go into women's bathrooms. He's also made several statements saying that society has become too tolerant of people's differences, saying, quote, to me, tolerance is the virtue that's killing this country. We're tolerant of everything. That was back in 2015. And that same year, the Cardinals had a minor league player named Tyler Dunnington who actually quit baseball altogether. And he said it was because of all the jokes about LGBT people and all the homophobia that he encountered in the locker room. And certainly this is not unique to St. Louis. I would venture to guess that every single team around the country has an LGBT player in their locker room, whether or not they know it. But it seems like a really poor choice of a person to come half speak on Christian night.
Yeah, it is a terrible choice. And it's also at odds with baseball's stance. You know, baseball has an ambassador of inclusiveness in Billy Beane. And they've tried to take steps to make locker rooms more inclusive, more relaxed, more tolerant. And to have Lance Berkman speak is really at odds with that. I'm kind of surprised that Major League Baseball hasn't said something to the Cardinals about it, because I know that in other instances, other leagues have, you know, not been hesitant to flex their muscles. For instance, in the 90s, the NFL moved a Super Bowl out of Arizona because Arizona hadn't recognized the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King as a holiday. And we all saw what happened with the NCAA and the NBA in North Carolina. The leagues actually have some power here, and I'm kind of stunned that they haven't done something here.
Yeah, I find it interesting. There seems to be a difference between what the league is saying and what the Cardinals are doing, mm-hmm. you know? Like, it's great that the leagues are trying to be inclusive of gay people who they know are in their locker rooms. But if you were a player and watching who the Cardinals were bringing in, what would you believe? What the league says or what your team is doing?
You know, it would be a great gesture if the Cardinals brought in Billy Beane to speak with Lance Berkman, a Beane and Berkman. you know, I mean, why not?
Absolutely.
You know, I think that as the amount of young men playing baseball, especially in the African-American community, is waning, you would think that maybe some of these throwbacks to sort of an older conservative generation would be something that baseball would want to move away from and move towards a more inclusive, you know, stance. But clearly that's not which way St. Louis is headed.
So I want to talk about a big announcement made this week that concerns college athletes. The National College Players Association has created a new document for recruits to sign instead of, or maybe in addition to, the National Letter of Intent. And everyone pretty much agrees that the National Letter of Intent, which schools and recruits sign now, does a whole lot more to safeguard the school than it does to safeguard the athlete. This new document is called the CAP, the College Athletic Protection Agreement. It offers multi-year scholarships, more stipend money. It obligates schools to pay for sports-related injuries. It would potentially give athletes the right to transfer schools. These are all great things. I have two kind of worries about it. One, it's totally voluntary. And if a school does sign it, they're only going to do it for the very, very, very top prospects, which leaves the vast majority of players and the players who most need protection right where they are now. Doesn't do anything to solve the problems that exist in college sports right now.
Yeah, it really doesn't. I think it's a noble effort, and I applaud them for it. I think the answer might be more along the lines of what Northwestern did a few years back when it was attempting to unionize the football players. Of course, it went nowhere. That's the way it is right now. But, you know, I think that players are finding their voice on the college level as well, and they're realizing that they're getting nothing while the colleges get rich. Their coaches certainly get rich. You know, sure, it's a good start, but it's not going anywhere right now.
It reminds me of a no-trade clause, right? Teams can just say, oh, we don't give those out.
Right.
And then if you want to play for that school, you want to play for that team, you either, you know, acquiesce or you go somewhere else. And I sense that for the big schools, if they just say, you know, we don't give out those kinds of agreements, if players really, really want to go there because that is still their easiest or clearest path to pro sports, they're still going to go there. I think it's going to fall largely on smaller schools that are trying to get bigger recruits. And the thing about it is that it forces players to really sort of band together if they want this to go anywhere, right? And I don't know if that's going to be able to happen. So it's going to wind up being the schools, you know, that make the decision on who gets it and who doesn't. And I'm going to guess if anyone, very, very few people get this.
Yeah. As I was thinking about this morning, all I could think of is the idea of, oh, a school might give it to, say, their top recruit at the quarterback position, right? But they're not going to give it to all the guys on the offensive line who are using their bodies to protect his, you know?
Right.
And that's what really worries me about this, is that, you know, we really need all sports injuries to be covered for college athletes, not just the sports injuries of the few stars. My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Julie DeCaro from Chicago's 670 The Score and Cindy Boren from The Washington Post. Thanks to you both.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you.